Ancient Warfare, Heinrich Schliemann, Part 4, The Travels of the Trojan Treasure. After the paid day off, rumors began flying around the excavation site at Hisarlik that something was going on, and Amin Effendi, which was the government's representative, was suspicious. He called at Schliemann's house and angrily proclaimed that he was sure something was being kept from him. He demanded permission to search the house. In the name of the Sultan, he ordered Schliemann to open all of his chests and even the wardrobes. That night or the next night, 6 baskets and 1 bag containing the treasure and other objects previously found were taken to Calvert's farmhouse near Pernerbassi. In a few days, the treasure and other things were smuggled out of the country. Schliemann himself stayed a few more days because he wanted to probe that trench and make sure that everything was out of there. And when he was sure there was no more treasure, he abruptly ended the excavation and returned to Athens. What he left behind was very unarchaeological. He left a desolate mound riddled with corridors and trenches, and it looked more like a battlefield than an archaeological site. Back in Athens, Schliemann began writing letters to all learned societies in Europe, saying he had made the greatest discovery of the age. With great enthusiasm and excitement, he declared that the treasure he found was the treasure of Priam, and that Hisarlik's hill was the legendary city of Priam. Using the treasure as leverage, he started bargaining with the Greek government. He said he would give the treasure to the Greek government if they gave him full permission to excavate at Mycenae and Olympia. The Greeks, however, were concerned about trouble with the Ottoman Empire and refused. Meanwhile, back in Istanbul, Amin Effendi was imprisoned for failing to keep a close watch on Schliemann. But on the other hand, the Turkish government privately asked Schliemann for him to send their fair share of the treasure and other objects back to the Imperial Museum in Istanbul, according to the agreement that they had signed with Schliemann to give so he could have permission to excavate. Schliemann refused, so the Ottoman government sued him for half of the Trojan treasure, which is technically what he promised to give him, half of everything. The trial was held in Greece, actually held in Athens, and it lasted for a year. And in the end, the Greek judges found in favor of the Turks and ordered Schliemann to pay 50,000 francs, which is what they thought the value of the treasure was. Although disappointed, Schliemann was elated by the judges' financial ruling, because he believed the treasure was worth more around 1 million francs. Schliemann kept the treasure in his home in Athens until 1881, when it was acquired by the Royal Museums of Berlin and displayed until the Allies began bombing Berlin in World War II. Since the museum that Priam's gold was in was near Gestapo headquarters, it certainly had to be moved quickly. Adolf Hitler had ordered all museums in Berlin to box and record all the artifacts and art, and then move them to safer locations. Most people believe that the Trojan treasure was moved to one of the various salt mines in Germany, where the Allies found all sorts of things. But the boxes, which were numbered and marked, were not found in the salt mines. We now know it never left Berlin. They were moved to a flak tower in the Berlin Zoo. Now, the description of this is a little different. We go tower. Oh, so we have one tower and they have a gun on top of it trying to shoot down bombers. No, that's not correct. This is a massive square fortification. It's built like a castle. It's a super fortress. And it was a bomb shelter for the people of Berlin, and they stored all kinds of things in it. And even after heavy bombing, it was pretty much intact except for the guns on the top when the war ended. The treasure, after 1945, just disappears. And it disappears until 1993, when the Pushkin Museum in Moscow suddenly discovers some crates with German markings and numbers. The Berlin museums were notified, and the numbers matched the German catalog of museum treasures. Most people thought that the Soviets had indeed looted it in 1945. But what happened was a German professor, Wilhelm Unverzagt, actually surrendered the treasure to the Soviet military commander to save it from being plundered. The general promised to protect it, and it was sent to the Pushkin Museum. Shortly after the admission of having the Trojan treasure, the crates were opened and inspected by an international team of experts, and they were not damaged. I mean, it is gold. Unless you hit it with something, it's not going to blow up. It's going to be in good shape. But then an argument became important over ownership. Russia had passed a law claiming that everything they confiscated in Germany in World War II was reparations to pay for German destruction in Russia during the war. So they have no intentions of giving it back. Well, we have a whole bunch of claimants. Well, the German museums claimed it. They obviously have a good choice. It was in their building when the war ended. The Schliemann dependents claimed it. The question here is, was the treasure bought by the museums, or was it on loan? And it's pretty sure that it was actually bought. And then the Turkish government also claimed it. Well, they had their document with Schliemann, but the problem with that is they've already settled that claim because the court case in Athens meant that they received a monetary payment, which Schliemann actually increased, plus he gave them some other artifacts. So they settled that piece of it. Then the Pushkin Museum planned to send the treasure on a worldwide tour, which no doubt would have been a major financial success. But there was a concern that once it left Russia, it's Russia now, it's not the Soviet Union, once it left Russia, it might not ever come back because somebody in the lawsuit or whatever would claim it, and then it'll be tied up overseas. Better to mess with it while it's in Russia, make everybody come there. So the Russian government nixed the idea, and it is presently on display in Russia. It's magnificent. And if you can't afford to visit the Pushkin Museum, I believe it's in Moscow. The Pushkin Museum does have one in St. Petersburg. I don't know whether they go back and forth, but pictures I have are from the museum in Moscow. What they did was they created a spectacular color guidebook of the collection. Now, it's not cheap. It was $60 when it first came out. I'm sure you can buy used copies for less than that. But literally, there is a color photograph of every object in the collection. So it makes a great addition to your ancient museum library or what have you. And of course, now the treasure is there. It's from Troy 1 and Troy 2. It certainly isn't from the time of Priam. And by the way, the title of that book is The Gold of Troy by Tolstikov and Truster. Now, other sources for that, besides the ones that one I just mentioned, is Troy by Askin, The Guide to Troy and Wallusa by Korfman, In Search of the Trojan War by Wood. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what I'm doing, please feel free to support us with a donation or buy a CD or an autographed picture. And thank you very much.